Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for us and us. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Against one of the best sides in the division and a clean sheet to boost, the Addicts get back on track. I think we're going to be enjoying talking about that one on this evening's Charlton Live. Hi, good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes, joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to look back at yesterday's superb 2-0 win over Barnsley here at the Valley is Mr. Charlton Live himself, Tom Wallin. How you doing?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, had a good, enjoy the game?
It's been alright, yeah.
Had a great day. Great, yep. I saw you in the Valley Cap beforehand as well, so you have the perfect
every good
day.
Weekend yeah. starts yeah. in the Valley Cap, doesn't it?
We were texting each other as well in the
Valley Cap. We were about as far away as it's possible to be, wasn't it?
Opposite corners, and I don't like to be seen in public with them, so. And joining the two of us, as you just heard there, is Nathan Miller. How you doing, Nate?
Yeah, living the dream, mate.
Yeah, enjoy it yesterday?
Yeah, another win on the old Jacko Jackpot.
Oh, game?
We've got to set up, you know when you have the like, beat the bookie now? We've got to set up something like that for Tom Rudd.
It's got to be at least £15 up,
haven't we? For the last 2 years.
Yeah, we won another £12 or so on the Jacko's Jackpot yesterday, which we will be donating. We need to get all that money together and donate it
because £62 so far.
£62, so we need to donate that to the Upbeats. Excellent. Right, on tonight's show, we will look back at that superb 2-0 victory. Really one of my favourite games for a while down here, just in terms of the opposition, the performance, and how comfortable we were and how well we defended, which after conceding 9 in the previous 3 games was very welcome. So we're going to hear the highlights from that game. We're going to speak to, of course, a delighted Lee Bowyer, who came to give us an exclusive interview in the studio after yesterday's game. We want to hear what you guys made of the performance as well. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can have your say on the Charlton Live forum. Plenty of you have already got in touch on all three of those mediums, and I look forward to sharing your views on the show later on this evening. Also, the Charlton Athletic women's team got an excellent win today, back on track themselves with a 2-0 home win over Sheffield United. We're going to speak to Elisabetta Ejupi. She was the player of the match this afternoon, so I spoke to her on the phone to find out how the women's team performance was. So we'll hear that as well later on in the show. So, excellent performance yesterday. Now, everyone I spoke to before the game yesterday, Tom, including yourself, actually, in the Valley Calf, I think was very wary of what was coming. And I don't think anyone thought we'd be quite as comfortable as we were.
Not at all. No. I've been worried all week. I think I called a draw on Thursday's show, and I'd have been happy with that. But what's so frustrating is that that performance has been in us all season, and we just keep throwing games away. And I thought, right, we're coming up against probably the best team we've faced so far, and you expect them to have enough to get past us. But that was easily our best performance. Everything clicked. As you said in the intro there, we didn't really... I mean, they threatened, they came forward, but we defended brilliantly. We were quick on the counter-attack. Everything just clicked, and we were just talking before we came on air. We couldn't really find someone who had a bad game. And, you know, people like Steer have come in for a bit of criticism recently. He made some good saves. Jick Steele on the right, forcing Solly on the left. I thought they both were brilliant. Pierce obviously back in his natural position. So there were just so many positives. And as I say, the only disappointing thing or frustrating thing is if we'd have just played like that for a few more games, just a little bit better, just 2, 5, 3, 4, 5% better than we have been, we'd be up there. But yeah, it's a huge result, and obviously nothing's taking it away from that, and on to Oxford on Tuesday now.
Barnsley are the joint second highest scorers in this division. I saw a couple of people yesterday saying they thought Barnsley looked ordinary, but I don't think that's fair at all, actually, because they had plenty of possession, but we stopped them every time they came forward. We didn't allow them to break through us, so perhaps they haven't come up against a defence in as good as form. Well, not form, because the form's been poor, but it playing as well as our defence did yesterday.
Yeah, I think, like you said, they had a lot of ball. I thought their midfield was still very good. And I think the first half, especially for me, Tom mentioned Jick Steele already, but Jick Steele, I thought, kept Moncur very quiet. Mm. He seemed to track him wherever he went, even if he come inside.
The amount of times he just stepped in, just got in the way.
And literally, Moncur, I couldn't even remember the amount, if he ever actually, he obviously did touch the ball, but I can't remember anything he'd done with it, and that's why he was sort of hooked fairly early on in the second half. But yeah, I think we said on Thursday, I think the team that will win will be the team who win their individual midfield battles, which I think, yeah, we sort of, you know, towards the end of the first half, they sort of controlled it a little bit more. But I think overall, I think we'll be very, very impressed with our midfield performance for sure.
Excellent. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights. Don't forget, though, if you want to have your say, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live, or head over to the Charlton Live thread. There's a thread on there for this evening's show. Let us know what you think made the difference from the last few weeks for yesterday's performance. Right, let's have a listen to the Valley Pass commentary highlights. Greg Stubley and Terry Smith are your commentators.
Potts goes further right to Kavari, up against Chris Solly into the penalty area. Ball back across, hits a rebo, and then Pierce swipes it clear. And this might have a good release to Taylor. Good control from Taylor. Sets up Reeves, that's a lovely ball to his Ward. I mean, to his left, and into Carlin Grant towards the edge of the penalty area. Goes left, he's going to take the shot, and he's gone!
Yes, come on!
Start for Charlton. It was a glorious ball by Ward. Lovely hold up play by Taylor from the release ball by Steer. Held it up, found Ward, a fantastic defence splitting pass to his left to find Grant. Took his man on. Gamble on the left foot shot, and in off the right hand post, and Charlton have the lead.
Well, he talks about trying to catch Barnsley on a counter-attack. But my word, what an assist from Jamie Ward. The ball's come back his way. Good hold-up play from Taylor. And Ward, it's a first-time pass. I didn't even see it, that option was on. I don't think anyone in the ground did. And Ward, not only has he found Grant, the timing of the pass was superb. And fair play to Carlin Grant. He had to beat his man still on the left-hand side, approaching the penalty area. Managed to get onto his left foot, his weaker side. Wasn't the cleanest of strikes, but it was in the perfect area. Past the goalkeeper's left, in off the post. And Charlton, after 8 minutes, had the lead.
Barnsley prepared to take this. It's a very central position, about 10 yards outside the D of the penalty area. And it's Mowat again over it. He might take a shot here. Does. And it's down to the left. Tipped away by Jed Steer. It's a difficult one to deal with because the sun's right in his eyes. He didn't take any chances, and it's away for a Barnsley corner.
Yeah, it's good goalkeeping from Steer. It was a good effort from Mowat. It's quite far out. There wasn't a lot of pace on it. We do want to get it over and over the wall. And Steer, as you say, Terry, the sun in his eyes, did well just to dive down. He looked quite comfortable with dealing with it, just parried it out for a corner. Free kick comes in. Taylor heads down towards Grant. Grant down to Ward, who's almost snap superb volley. It's almost a lovely, well-worked goal in the end, but Ward's snap volley was easy enough for the goalkeeper, Davis.
And maybe it just came to him on the stretch too much. He just couldn't get enough purchase on the final shot. Lovely move, though.
Jay Ward does in his half-time.
I mean,
anyway,
the referee just said to him, as soon as you kick that, it's I'm blowing up.
So there is a half-time whistle. And Pierce up from the back. Rebo also in there. Ward and Cunnan on the edge of the box. Ben Rees with the corner for the Addicts. Swings it in towards the near post. And Pierce is there! It's strong! Oh,
it's got to be a goal!
Yes. It's a goal! Come on. Oh, the referee's... Oh, he's given a free kick.
Oh, what?
There was a little bit of confusion. Well, Charlton has scored. Everyone thought Charlton has scored.
What is that for?
So the ball comes in from Reeves. It was headed by Pierce. And on the goal line was a Barnsley player. Cleared it away. I thought... And the referee's given a foul, but I've no idea what for.
I don't think anybody has.
Because Charlton thought they made it too. I thought Charlton made it too.
I thought he'd given a goal.
The referee signalled towards the centre spot. And the referee again causes controversy in SC7. This time they do pass it to Jed Steer. I thought they were just going to bang that one out of play again.
There's Mowat in this instead of Dougal.
Steer has the ball. Chipped towards the left-hand side and Taylor. It's headed away by Kavere. Headed down by Arriba. Nice flick from Ward. Goes down to Grant. Grant inside to Reeves, who's got Dixley on the overlap. We use him decoy. Reeves thinks about a shot. It's deflected. Comes to Arriba on the left-hand side. Arriba down the line to Taylor in the box. Taylor, ball across. Goal!
Yes! Touched it by Grant! The one!
It's 2-0!
Get it!
A lovely, well-worked move from the Alex. Arriba down the line to Taylor. Taylor, ball across. Goal! He combines with his strike partner, Carlin Grant, who touches home from about 2 yards out. And the Alex make it 2.
A lovely work Come goal on. Again from this near side. It starts drifted across to the right and into Reeves. Some lovely interplay from Charlton. Reeves probably took the wrong option by going inside. Dick Steele was giving him the overlap. He used him as a decoy. His shot was blocked away comfortably, but it ran through to Joe Rubo. Spotted Taylor tanking away on his overlap on the left-hand side. Used him, and Taylor pinpoint, low cross into the feet of Carlin Grant, and he's not going to miss from there, and it's 2-0.
Should have had a goal, you feel like, from the last corner they had. Yep. Referee blew for a foul on Pierce, but they'll have it again here with Rees. Again, looking towards the near post. Oh, he almost went straight in. The keeper just got it away, and Rebo's cross cleared away in the end.
Rees to the edge of the penalty area. Charlton trying to force Barnsley out, and they've done so well, and Taylor can spring away. Taylor taking the ball with him, gone past Potts. Grant's in on the run.
Ball.
Carlin Grant in the edge of the penalty area. The keeper just comes out and cuts him out. He goes straight to Taylor. Will he shoot? He does. Oh, headed away by Lindsay. It was going goal-bound. And Charlton almost snatching a third from the breakaway. No hurry to give it back to Solly. Looked like he might have been fouled, but the ball goes straight to Arriba. Arriba to Grant. Grant looking to jink into the area. Finds Arriba again. Ball across. Taylor. Oh, he gets it out. Couldn't get it out from under his feet, and it's cleared away by the keeper. And then Lapsley has to stop Hedges from coming forward. And Taylor's got his head in his hands. He can't believe he didn't score. Closing him down. And that's
Come
the final
on.
Whistle. Charlton against one of the best sides in this division. They've come out with a 2-0 victory.
Yeah, I think Terry sums it up nicely. They're one of the best sides in the division. And we performed like that. Is that sending a bit of a message to the rest of the division that we're not to be forgotten in this promotion race?
Yeah, I think, not forgotten is probably the right way to put it, because we've shown in recent games that we've got our frailties. We've got the ability, really, to throw games away. I don't think, and I've said this on plenty of shows, and I include Barnsley in that list now, that I don't think we've come up against any side that's better than us. I don't, arguably, not even anywhere near as good as us. I think we're that good on our day. Our problem is that we just do stupid things all the time and throw games away. I say stupid things. Things like Pierce being out of position against Coventry, we were just talking off air. Not necessarily his fault, so injuries have played a part as well, but I think an on-form Charlton, I don't think, we haven't played Portsmouth yet, but I don't think there's many that will compete with us. We just need to show that consistency, and if we do, we'll have no problem. But it sends a bit of a message, because as you say, we'd had a couple of wobbly results, and obviously beat Stevenage in the Checker trade, and we've carried that momentum on despite the international break, got a couple of players back fit, which made a huge difference, and it's a bit of a statement, I think.
I mean, no, we know that this consistency has been a problem over the last couple of weeks, because we had those poor results at Scunthorpe and at home to Coventry. I mean, what do we put it down to, the fact that we showed this? Is it just a change in personnel? The fact that we had Billick was available to come back in, and therefore Pierce could go to his more comfortable side? I mean, surely you should be expecting any player to not be making some of the mistakes that they had made anyway. So what would you put the improvement down to?
Well, I think going forward, I think we're always going to look like scoring. I don't think I've ever seen a season where I'm never worried about our scoring. And like you say, those games against Scunthorpe and Coventry, to note, is it, for me, it is the balance of the team, which Bose has already alluded to before. But yeah, I mean, we were saying off air, the difference it will make if you're playing on the wrong side. So like Pearcey, you know, he's not got a right peg on him apart from standing on, but it makes so much more of a difference, because you'd be more tentative to on your position in your, whereas when he's left sided centre half, it's more natural to him. So for me, it is the Christian coming back in, and everyone having that sort of balance on the left. I know we had Solly out at left back, but Souls is Souls, isn't he? But that for me is the balance of the team, and everyone feels a lot more comfortable. And we won our individual battles yesterday. That's what it was for me.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the team news in particular at the start, I think it did stand out that Solly operating as a left back was preferred to Naby Sarr operating there, and Solly in his preferred right back position. So were you surprised by that? I mean, it certainly paid off, because Dick Steele was one of the best performers yesterday.
Yeah, it definitely paid off, and yes, it did surprise me. I was expecting Solly to start a right back. I was expecting Sarr to come in. I don't know what exactly Lee Bowyer's thinking was. It definitely paid off, because I thought Billick was brilliant. As we said just then, Pearce going back to his natural side worked well as well. I still didn't think we had that attacking threat down the left-hand side that we would with a natural left-footer, but I don't blame Solly for that at all. He's reliable and he's competent at the defending side of it. And I thought Jick Steele performed brilliantly as well. Did you do a vote, Nathan? Mm. People said he was man of the match. He was definitely up there for me as well. I think maybe probably Carlin or him. But yeah, he just looked more assured. And as I say, that's been the problem. When we've thrown games away, you think of a couple of the goals that... Was it at Scunthorpe when Jed Steer come rushing out and someone slipped one underneath him? Little things like that. Yeah. Composure. Things like that just didn't happen yesterday. Everyone played their part. Everyone was composed and did what they were supposed to do. And when they do that, they're a good side. It's just, as I say, we just haven't done it enough so far.
Just on the point you made actually about how... you were worried that we weren't attacking perhaps as much with the likes of Solly on the left-hand side. I just wonder, well, because yesterday's game plan, and Bowyer said it himself, was more about hitting them quick on the turnovers, the counter-attacks, and we did see that. Maybe he didn't think, well, I'm not really going to use my full-backs to attack too much today. So it was more a case of he'd rather be more solid defensively, which I think you could argue Solly at left-back is better than Sarr at left-back. And obviously Dick Steele was fine as well. So I just wonder if that perhaps was Lee Bowyer's thinking. The other interesting one, Fosse was dropped. I did say a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about a player who perhaps hadn't hit the heights we were hoping for so far this season, I did say I think Fosu would be one of those, because we know what he's capable of, and I don't think he's quite done that yet. He was dropped for Jamie Ward, and again, another decision that paid off within the first 10 minutes, because, I mean, that ball... I don't think you'd see that pass from Fosu, actually, but that ball from Ward for Carlin for the first goal... I mean, superb hold-up play, we shouldn't forget, from Lyle Taylor in the build-up, but that ball from Ward, I mean, Nathan, you were still dreaming about it last night, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see Fosu pass at all, let alone a ball like that, but that's another story. But yeah, no, that worldy of a ball from Jamie, he's so intelligent, and how quick he done it. He done the ball down for Igor on the right-hand side against Stevenage, but that ball was just unbelievable, and unfortunately for Tariq, he can't get into the side because Jamie Ward is playing so well, and he brings so much. I mean, apart from the odd bit where he decided just to pass it to their other player, which is quite funny at the time, but he's intelligence and his vision is so good. In a matter of seconds, you know, we're on the edge of the sort of centre circle, and then Carlin's through. But it's unfortunate for Tariq, but. You can't really drop Jamie Ward the way he's playing at the moment, because I think he's playing very, very well.
I mean, and the Bowyer did say, and we sort of mentioned that first goal was very much how we were going to be playing. It was as soon as he said that they were vulnerable on the turnover. We were talking about how many men they had forward at times in that first half. So the second possession changed hands, and we had it. The amount of times we went long, but long with purpose towards Lyle Taylor, he brought it down. And it was an excellent move and an excellent finish. I mean, and that's what Lee Bowyer's talking about, how you work out what another team's vulnerabilities are. And then he said after as well that the set piece towards the near post was something we'd worked on. And I was desperate for us to score from a set piece yesterday, just because I knew that Jacko, who prints off all the set pieces and laminates them, I knew he forgot them yesterday, and someone else had to come in here and get them printed off again. So I thought it'd be so fun if we scored from a set piece after Jacko forgot his homework. But I mean, the finish for Carlin Grant's goal. I was thinking yesterday morning, actually, he's gone a couple of games without scoring now. Now that he's an out and out goal scoring striker, when a player goes three games without scoring, you start to notice. And I mean, to take it on, take his man on, calm, left-footed finish as well. Maybe the keeper might have done slightly better, but it was pretty much arrowed in off the post anyway. So maybe I'm being slightly harsh on the goalkeeper there. But it's a brilliant finish.
Yeah, and you're right about the expectations rising as a result of his good form. And obviously, we saw it a little bit at Crawley last year. We were kind of begging for him to be able to come back. But when he does, you still think, is he going to be able to do it at this level? Is he going to be able to do it back here where he's had those issues? A lot of them don't think are his fault. And he's just continues to impress every single game, going from strength to strength. And it's the sort of finish that someone like Fosu was scoring last year as well. But for someone like Carlin, it's still a bit, I'm still finding it a bit weird because you're just not used to him being that good. And it's credit to him that every time he gets in those positions, he's putting those chances away. And there was those few issues around his link-up play with Lyle towards the start of the season. But, I mean, obviously a second goal proves we've sorted that out as well. And someone like Igor, again, we were so excited when he came back. We didn't know what to expect, but just to have him back in the building. But he's a bit like Tariq, just can't get in because those two are performing so well. And, yeah, just a really, really good finish from someone. And it just makes him look so much more experienced than he is. Yet again, we forget how young he still is.
I enjoyed his celebration, actually, sort of strutting over towards the corner flag. It's good to show a little bit of confidence like that in your strikers. Now, I'm glad Sebo's tweeted this in now because I completely missed this. Not because, well, basically because I wasn't looking, but not long after the goal, there was some sort of through ball where Carlin seemed to be wiped out. Now, I was sort of staring at my notes at the time because I was getting ready to talk about the goal, so I needed to have in my mind what I wanted to say. So I missed it. Did anyone actually see what happened? Because a lot of people on Twitter at the time were calling for a red card.
From what I can remember, I thought it was an early release from Steer.
Yeah, it was.
It was a ball over the top. Lindsay misjudged a bounce, and then I thought, well, if he lets this bounce, Carlin's through here. And he was through. And then there was a challenge, but obviously one North lower in the F block, so I couldn't see if he was last man or if he actually made contact with him. But I mean, for me, if I'm Carlin, I doubt I would go down if I didn't have, if
not
there
that
was no touch.
Goal.
No, because he knows he's got the pace. He knows it. He's scored already. He knows he's got the confidence. So I don't know, mate. And because I looked at the lino, because the ref was miles behind, he was still crossing the centre circle. So then you looked at the lino, and the lino didn't flinch, so I can only assume he either died or but that's what I mean. And obviously I couldn't see it on the highlights.
It's perfectly possible that the referee bottled it and the linesman bottled it.
Or they bottled it or they didn't see it was enough. And that was the thing, but I just think it was too obvious, and I don't think Carlin would go down unless he was touched, because he's through on goal and he's a confident lad. But
I think Sebo had a better view than us, because he said the ref also missed a clear free kick on the edge of the Barnsley area. If it was given as a foul, then their lad had to be sent off for being the last man, surely, or, you know, for the goal scoring opportunity it would have been. So we missed that, but the Charlton Twitter page certainly felt it was it should have been a foul as well. I mean, don't forget, this is the referee Linnington, who was the referee from the Peterborough game here at the Valley just a few weeks ago, that he was the one that got Bowyer sort of headed up slightly, if we're being massively underselling it. After that game, when he gave that late penalty to the posh, because that big geezer shouted at him, and of course he doesn't know the game because he hasn't played the game. After that goal, I mean, we saw a couple of chances. A cross came in from Cullen, kept bouncing around. I mean, I thought it was in the middle of the park. I mean, it was a tough one because people always talk about the physicality of League One. And there was plenty of physical battling away in the middle. But both teams, when they started passing the ball, looked really good going forward. And that's why I was sitting through this first half. I mean, it helped that Charlton were playing well and defending well, and therefore I wasn't too nervous. But I was thinking, I'm actually really enjoying like a good game of football here that's got sort of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was a really enjoyable first half. And especially given the experience of the last few games, Stevenage aside, when we scored that early, given Barnsley's position and the way they've been playing, I was a bit nervous because you think, right, being a Charlton fan, you go, right, they're probably going to come back now, same as Coventry did. But they didn't, and that was credit to midfield. And you're right, it was a really, really fun game of football to watch. We had a few chances. They didn't have as many chances, but had attacking spells. I thought towards the end of that first half, Potts was probably their best player, getting on the ball all the time. But like you both said earlier, like Moncur, who we were worried about on Thursday, was kept very quiet. So, yeah, it was just it was nice to watch, because it wasn't one of them games where either midfield has it and gets rattled by the other midfield and there's a free kick and the game breaks down and you start again. It was passing, flowing football resulting in some incident at the other end, and then the other team would come back at you, and it was fun to watch. Yeah. And I guess the other reason it was fun is because we were defending well, so I didn't really feel our lead was under any threat until possibly the last, 10 minutes of the first half, and then I got a little bit nervy, and I tweeted out, I said I think half-time came at the right time for us, and because they were just starting to grow into the game a little bit at that stage.
Yeah, it was interesting, because I agree that they were growing into the game, but still no chances. No. I mean, the only real shot on goal they had in that first half, other than perhaps that one in the first minute, was that
free kick.
That free kick from Moat, and luckily Jed Steer had his baseball cap on, because but my understanding is everyone who's in the North Lower has come out a few shades darker this, because apparently you're absolutely baking with the sun yesterday.
Oh, it was well hot.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
It was like intense heat as well, and you couldn't move, obviously. So
that whole game a few years ago where he won in the last minute, that was hot. And then this was probably as close as it's been. It was just roasting.
It's just quite powerful, yeah. Well, I'm lucky in the back row, so it was only like the first 15, 20 minutes I had it, but you probably had it a little bit more than me. But
just into the second half.
It was baking, sweltin'.
Mm. So, yeah, in terms of the team creating actual chances in that first half was Charlton. We saw one that where Aribo sort of got snuffed near the goal line, then Wardy had a similar one, and then he had that volley sort of from halfway. But as you say, I think just in terms of momentum building, half-time came at the right time for us. And then they're bringing on Kiefer Moore at the interval. Now he's scored 7 already so far this season. I mean, I noted before the game that he'd actually missed the majority of the 4-0 win at Peterborough and all of the home win against Luton for Barnsley anyway. So they tend to operate fine without him anyway. But he is clearly a threat. But, I mean, he had sort of that one. He came on at the start of the interval, just after the interval. I think he had a header. I think this was before we scored. He had a header that went a little bit wide. But other than that, I thought we dealt with him really well.
Yeah, I think so. obviously, when he came on, you knew there was going to be a bit more direct, and he'd probably start peeling off at the back stick towards sort of Solly if they were going to get crosses in. But I thought we dealt with really well. I thought Piercy sort of stepped in front of him most times. The ball was going near him, and Piercy was solid. So I think we kept him quite quiet. But I think it's a testament to show how well we played that from how Barnsley looked after the ball, you know, certainly in the first half and in stages in the second. Now, they had to go a bit more direct to try and get the ball further up the pitch quicker. So I thought that's a testament to how we played.
Now, obviously, when you come out, and especially being us after the last few weeks we've had, where we've been in winning positions in all three of our previous three games, against Luton we were 1-0 up, weren't we? Scunny, we were 2-1 up at one point, and Coventry, of course, we were 1-0 up and gone on not to win. You know, that second goal is also important for us, so we felt like an absolute mugging when we had that one from the corner that Piercy's nodded. It's clearly gone over the line. I don't think that would have been questioned if the referee hadn't seen something. Now, anyone who followed me on Twitter would have seen, I retweeted something from one of our photographers, Keith Gillard, who was there by the corner, and in the photos you can't see anything on the keeper. Now, I watched back the long form highlights on Valley Pass this afternoon, and after it's given, the referee's pointing at Carlin Grant, who isn't really in Keith's photos, and he's sort of gesturing as if to say he leaned back into the goalkeeper. Now, there's not really an angle that I can find that can show that, but I just wonder if anyone have a better view of that behind the goal, maybe?
No, not at all. Carlin's clearly just this big geezer, and he's taking the keeper out. But no, I didn't. I obviously, everyone stands up when that header happens, or even just for the corner. So it's a bit harder to see. I couldn't even tell whether it had crossed the line, so I wasn't sure. And then, as we were saying before, the referee points to the centre circle, it looks like. So I celebrated, then I stopped celebrating, then he does that, so I celebrate again. And then clearly everybody realises that, no, he's given a free kick, but no, I had no idea what it was for. I've seen the highlights back and still can't really tell, so it's a bit of a mystery. But as I say, it's that ref. So
is it a slight shame, only a slight one, that we haven't been denied a win by that ref, just because we would have had another rant from Lee Boyer?
I sure. reckon so. Yeah,
yeah. I think I just wanted him to rant at him anyway, just because hopefully about the Carlin thing, but obviously he didn't. Mm.
Well, maybe he'll do Peterborough away as well.
Well, he got booked yesterday again, didn't he, Evans?
Did he?
Yeah. It's a surprise.
Well, when they lost at home to Accrington Stanley.
Yeah.
Who were they? Anyway, so justice was served only a minute or so later, though, and another great move. I mean, this is what we're talking about. Once we start to attack, we have the players to carve something out. And it was, Reevesy had the shot, deflected perhaps slightly luckily into Aribo's path, but he was sensible enough just to find Lyle Taylor running in the channel. Don't forget our strikers do run into the channel. They work as a team. If one of them's gone into the channel, the other one will be around the penalty spot waiting for the ball in. And Taylor got to the byline. Excellent low ball. The keeper, he has to make the gamble really to try and get there first, but he can't because of the quality of the pass. And yeah, just a tap in for Carlin Grant. But give me a striker who gives a tap in every week, and I'll be happy.
Well, yeah. Exactly. That's what we've lacked the last what, God knows how many seasons. So, but it just shows again sort of how well Tom alluded to it earlier about how, you know, at the beginning they weren't really clicking because they were forming their partnership, but. I can't remember, someone said on Twitter how many goals they've created between them so far. It's quite a lot of goals. So it's obviously working at the moment, and I'm really pleased for Carlin because I think when he used to play for us before, I think obviously he was either playing in a system when he was up top on his own, which is never going to work for Carlin, or he's going to be playing out wide on the right, and that's not Carlin either. So it's nice that he's got obviously Lyle side by side now, and it's obviously coming to fruition with the both of them. So, but great bit of play from Aribo, I thought was great again yesterday. He seems to improve every week, and Lyle coming in the channel and being that all round striker that he's been all season.
Yeah, and that daylight's so important for us. Like I say, over the last few weeks, you know, it just calms you down a bit. And you know, I mean, we were defending well anyway, but once you have that little cushion, then it just gives you that extra bit of comfort. And I thought we saw out the game pretty comfortably.
Yeah, fellow Charlton Liver Lewis Cat texted me about 2 minutes before we scored saying we need that second goal.
Yeah.
So I replied just after the goal saying, well, we needed that second goal. but yeah, we got it. And you're right, we haven't got that. And that's been part of the problem in recent games. But we, again, we looked like the more likely side. And we'd obviously had that chance from the corner, and I think the half time had slowed their momentum down. Lee said it himself, I thought our changes were helping as well. And Carlin gets his second goal. Yes, it's just a tap in, but it's still another goal for him, and he had to be there, and he did it. And yeah, when you're 2-0, I mean, I'm still a bit nervous at that point, but it seemed like there's certainly less chance of anything going wrong.
We were the team that came closest to getting a third goal of the game as well, if there was going to be one. Like, so you mentioned Reevesy's corner that went straight towards the keeper and he curled in. Obviously, like I say, we're clearly attacking the near post with corners. That one nearly went straight in. We had that other one. And now, again, I watched this back on the highlights earlier. The hold-up play from Lyle Taylor before sending it through. And then the weight of the pass was almost perfect for Carlin Grant. Grant seems to be going through. Davies, the keeper's come rushing off his line. Just beaten Grant to it. And then I'm certain that Taylor's body's going in the top corner if it hasn't hit that head there.
Is.
Yeah. I mean, so, like I said, the quality of our attacking play and the speed of it, because we were trying to play, that was the way we were trying to play, was impressive yesterday. Wardy came in after and said he thought we didn't actually attack that well yesterday. But I might disagree with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Wardy does things that, you know, that we didn't attack very well, then I can't wait to attack him well then. Jesus. but, you know, I think obviously the amount of pace we have, we're always going to be we're always going to give teams trouble on the break. You know, obviously Taylor and obviously Grant and Aribo, and to an extent, you know, like Jamie Ward, even though he's a bit older. But yeah, I thought we played well yesterday, and like you say, Lou, I think it was quite obvious of how we were trying to play, and it was working. And it surprised me in a way, because I was quite apprehensive as well before the game. I didn't think we was going to win. I would have been happy with a draw, but I thought attacking wise, I just think the way that we move the ball and how the players seem to rotate, so we're not so rigid. I think we cause a lot of teams trouble, and it's nice to see.
Dimitri Cavare was the fullback for Barnsley. He got forward on one occasion, and got a save out of Jed Steer. I mean, I thought Jed Steer actually yesterday, I thought a couple of set pieces he did really well to claim or to punch. But in terms of actual saves, I think the two saves he had to make, the free kick and this one from Cavare where he got to the edge of the box, were pretty routine actually. But a word for him, because he did, like, in particular on those set pieces, he just at a time when perhaps we needed just to make sure, you know, we were commanding in our own area, he stood up when he needed to there. And he's had some criticism over the last couple of weeks from some fans.
Yeah. It was my granddad's first game of the season yesterday, and he was asking about who the keeper was. And I explained that obviously Phillips was there, and he'd come in and he was under a bit of scrutiny, and he'd had a couple of poor games. And then my granddad said he looked really good yesterday. And I think he was spot on. If you haven't seen any other games, you'd be pretty pleased with him, because, OK, he didn't have a huge amount to do in terms of shot stopping, but he did it. He looked like the criticism we've had is about him commanding his box. I thought he did that a lot better. He seemed to make the right decisions, and his distribution was good as well. I know the passing out from the back is something that all teams want to do, but if teams are coming forward and pressing us, his direct balls over the top are so much more dangerous, and we saw it with that one that Carlin, we think, got bundled over for. So, yeah, I think he had a good game yesterday. I mean, if we're going back to it, I'm still gutted that Dills wasn't kept in, but I think he's answered a couple of critics. But again, like everything that happened yesterday, it's all about the consistency. We need to show that we can do that week in, week out, and one game doesn't change the fact that he had a few poorer games, but yeah, he was good yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, shame Lyle Taylor couldn't quite add a goal right at the end there, and again, watching back the highlights, actually quite a bad miss when Aribo got to the byline and squared it. The ball was perhaps slightly behind Taylor, but he would have backed himself.
He had to score.
He would have backed himself to score there. Now, Christian Billick, well, so one of the players that made a big difference for us, and I just... cramping up towards the end now, so 50-50 perhaps if he's going to be ready for Tuesday. Now obviously we saw Naby come on for a cameo for the last 10 minutes, Nathan. I mean, what did you make of the cameo?
It was a good win for us in the end, but no, listen,
sidestepping the question.
Naby makes me nervous. I've not shied away from the fact that the guy makes me nervous when he gets the ball at his feet. I mean, you know, in the air, he seemed okay, but there's a couple of times where we just needed to get rid of it, and he shanked it and going out and put more pressure.
It was taking him 10 minutes to get into the game, wasn't it? But unfortunately, there was only 10 minutes left when he came on.
Yeah, and he has improved from when I first see him against Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was, when he first signed for us. But it's if Christian's not going to be a fit for... Tuesday, I'd even stick Prattley in there instead, honestly. That's how much he makes me nervous.
It's only Oxford, put Dylan Phillips in there.
Dylan's centre half, put Josh Cullen there, I'll be fine. But he doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, but he seemed to put us under more pressure than we needed to be yesterday.
Right, well, it was a brilliant win yesterday. Chapman saw it out well. Very much deserved their 3 points. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on tonight's show, plenty of you have tweeted in already at Charlton Live. Got plenty of emails as well, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. There's comments on the forum for us as well. If you look at the Charlton Live forum, there's a thread on there for tonight's show, which we'll come to shortly. But first of all, I want to hear from the Charlton boss, Lee Bowyer. He always gives us an exclusive interview after the game. He came in to speak to Terry yesterday, and the Addicts boss agreed that it was his side's best performance of the season.
Of course, 2-0, clean sheet. Created a good few chances. I think Lyle could have had a couple on another day himself. Obviously, one disallowed as well. I think we was comfortable. Jed made some couple of half-decent saves, but apart from that, they didn't really create too much. A few long-range shots, which is fine. But that just shows that the hard work that the lads put in today. People coming off the bench, you know, running Tariq, defence, showing the defensive side of his game, which is something he has to improve on. And he is. So they showed a great togetherness again, which they do every game. And that's why it disappoints me. Like, that's what we're about. What we've just seen there today, it was probably similar to Coventry, that game. Like, that. We was in full control of it. I thought they have a little bit of pressure towards the end of the first half, but other than that, I thought we was very comfortable.
Got off to the perfect start. 8 minutes in, and Carlin, lovely ball from Jamie Ward, who just in the studio before he goes out to the press, must have been delighted with that contribution. Pin perfect ball and set it up for Carlin.
Yeah, but that's what he brings. He brings that quality, you know, like the experience, the quality to see that pass and hit it first time. Not many people can do that in this division, and he showed the quality today, and why it's good to have him in the building with us and in our squad. He brings us something different, and he's a great lad around the place as well.
And so. I just had a word with him there on another day, and it was a strange game in terms of, even though that we didn't look troubled, we played some superb football at times. ricochets and deflections were still not going our way, and some of the balls that dropped to Jamie a couple of times in that first half, that had dropped a little bit kinder, he could have buried two goals there, but they just didn't fall right for him.
No, but that's what I keep saying. We are going to hammer a team soon, because we ain't having much luck at the moment either. And I'm probably, every manager might say that, but we ain't. It's a fact. Like when we played Luton, they hit the post, drops to their man 6 yards out, standing there on his own. We hit the post, it goes the other way. Like it, but sometimes you make your own luck, but I'm sure it'll even itself out. And we created a good few chances today. And from back to front, from the goalie up to the front two, I thought we was outstanding all over the park.
I know you don't like to pick players out particularly, the back four, though, you brought Christian Billick in. We looked assured at the back, and Anthony Dixdale on the right, I don't think, put a foot wrong all game either. He was outstanding at the right back as well. And Chris Solly gives you everything he's got, you know that.
Yeah, we look far better now, like balanced-wise. Solly can play out there. He's an experienced player. He's got everything, you know. Anthony, the kid's a machine. And he's not even fully fit yet, really. And thought he was outstanding. Piercy defending how he defends. So, yeah, it's Christian, first game back, got a bit of cramp, but outstanding. Jed, thought he'd come and came for crosses, and his contribution, like, from his hands and his feet, putting Carlin away a couple of times, that was something we worked on. So it wasn't just a fluke, trust me. We work on all these different things, corners and general play, and the two goals we scored is something we'd worked on, because the right back bombs on like mad. He's like a winger, and he leaves that hole every time, and that was something that we worked on, you know, when we've scored both our goals from down that side. So
could have got a few more. I think Lyle Taylor probably having nightmares of that that one near the end that didn't quite fall for him. But the reputation bonds he had before they came down here, and you probably watched the videos, were the high pressing game, and they put teams under pressure. So you must have been expecting that, and we played the way they played, superb.
Yeah, they're a good side. They're the best side we've played this year, and I've said that a few times. I said it before we played them, and I still believe that now. So yeah, they're a good side, but so are we, and. They have weaknesses, and we just showed that today. And not only in possession, but the way we stuck together and fought for every ball. That was a proper performance, and that's what we're about. And that's why we will be in and around it at the end of the season.
And that must give you, and the team itself, great confidence going forward. I'm not saying with any disrespect to any other team, but beating the team second and third from bottom is one thing, but when you come up a team that you know is going to be in the top four, probably maybe even the top two, a team that's come down from the Championship, when you put in a performance like that against them, it must give them such a feel good factor and a buzz going forward.
Yeah, but it's only one game. We've got another 30 to go. That's only one game, and that's funny enough. I said to him on Thursday, he was in a meeting, and I said, look, it's probably the best team we could play right now, because we always play better against the better team. So it's going to be tough, but. And I said to him before today's game, we're sitting in the dressing room, and I said, look, if you don't do it right, you can't turn it on and off. If you don't do it right, then you will lose. But if you do it right, then you will win. Football's that simple. And I believe in every single one of them. They're all good, and they'll bring something different. And today was a good day.
But as a manager, you're having to make changes, constantly reshuffling things here and there, but still the team is able to perform. Forgetting the two defeats we've had recently, up to that point, and today especially, that must give you confidence going forward and the team going forward. We've got another quick game on Tuesday. Are you likely to shuffle it again?
Yeah, I'll have to shuffle it again, because I think half of them are really tired in there. So I will have to make changes. That's just the way it is. But like I said, I believe in the squad that I have. So I've been saying for a while, I think we're going another run there. Like, I believe that, because I believe we can win every game, and that's why it hurts me so much, and it hurts them, the lads, when we lose games, because we know what we are and we know what we've got. So, but and I believe we're going on another run for sure.
Question of maintaining the focus, because we are coming up again. I mean, it's a slightly strange one Tuesday night generally anyway, but because of who's coming. But the fact that it's a team that is struggling near the bottom, it's always a potential banana skin, I suppose, is the focus to make sure it isn't.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you have to have the right attitude. You have the right attitude, you win games. And we have to, and Tuesday's no different. Don't matter who you're playing, whether you're playing Barnsley or you're playing Oxford or you're playing Portsmouth, you've got to have the right attitude. You, like I keep saying, you can't turn it on and off. The teams that do it consistently, day week in, week out, they're the ones that get promotion. And that's what I keep saying to mine.
Be remiss of me not to to the final point to mention the referee that today there was well, not quite as contentious as the last time he was here, but he still managed to disallow a goal. Where do we see that one? Carefully.
I don't know why it was disallowed. Apparently the goalie got fouled, but that's all we'll say on that.
Fair enough. Well, it's a statement of the team that we managed to overcome those sort of obstacles and still get the victory against a very good side. So well done, Lee.
Thank you.
And we'll see you Tuesday.
And now to Bauer. Now to Saar. Saar, lovely little dummy, advances forward with the ball out left now to Page. Page on a run, adjacent to bounds here. Page crosses in, it's a decent ball. Colin Grant is in, surely. It is, the referee's given it. Colin Grant heads home off the underside of the bar, just over the line. A glorious ball in from Lewis Page. Finds the head of Colin Grant, who gets his second in as many weeks. And Charlton won.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Go up here after 14 minutes.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening on the Maritime Radio. That was the mascot, so you came in before yesterday's game. I'm sure they had a good day. And Lee Bayer also had a good day. He very reserved on the referee there. Well played to him. He's learned his lesson there. But yeah, I mean, it must be so satisfying as a manager when the specific things that you have planned, like playing on the counter-attack, on the turnover of possession like we did, and the set pieces and whatnot, come off like they do yesterday.
Yeah, I think it obviously it's obviously self-satisfying, but it also proves that they do some work on the training ground. You know, they don't just turn up and play five a side. You know, they do work hard, and I think in terms of obviously two play, you know, you've got two players there, and well, ex players in Bose and Jacko who know the game. That wasn't actually supposed to be like
because they played the game. Yeah.
But yeah, they're ex pros, and you know they're getting their points across, and it's working because we're playing some really nice stuff, and it don't just all come together. It requires a lot of hard work from the players and the coaching staff, and hopefully it can continue because it's one of the nicest. We're playing really nice football for what I can remember a long time, because it's been a while since we've been playing some nice stuff.
And the substitutes, yes, Sam. I've noticed quite a lot now that if we're winning. He likes to bring on George Lapsley, doesn't he? Because he obviously thinks that he adds something into that midfield battle when we're looking to try and see out a game. And again, you know, he'll be pleased with how that played out yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he put himself about really well when he comes on. And again, this is more me than anything Lapsley's done wrong. But you get a little bit nervous because he's still young and you want him protected. And okay, we're 2-0 up, but you think if Barnsley score one goal in that last 10 minutes, we're going to start to get a bit nervy. But I've got to stop thinking like that, because every time Lapsley comes on or plays, he does very well. He put himself about. He got some great challenges in down in the corner towards the end when they were trying to get crosses into the box, and for him and Jick Steele linked up really well to protect that side. And I think he can count himself unlucky, really, that because of lack of injuries now, that he's kind of found his way out of the first 11. Because, as I said, I don't think it's really anything he's done wrong. So, I thought he did well when he comes on, and that's really, at the moment, all he can do. So credit to him.
Yeah, so a very pleasing day at the Valley yesterday all round. It was a great day for... I just enjoyed my day yesterday. I went to, like I say, Valley Caf before Amps was great. Then I went Nando's after. And I saw Seb Lewis and Joe Aribo in Nando's. I mean, the only way that day could have been perfect is if they were both on the same table.
That'd have been great.
But they were both in there enjoying a post-match Nando's. As well, so well done everyone. Right, John Ambergar Agambar was the first person to get involved on the tweets yesterday. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. Plenty of comments have come through on all of those, and we're going to start reading them out now. John said, the thing that pleased me the most yesterday was we played what was in front of us on the pitch and not their reputation, unlike the Wigan game last year. So we clearly, like I said, we clearly had a plan. Remember the Wigan game at the start of last season when we'd started quite well, but then we got absolutely trounced 3-0 at home by Wigan. I mean, do you think that we adapted for Barnsley yesterday? Whereas I guess you would argue the way we tended to play under Carl is we'd always play our own way with the same formation.
Yeah, I think, and that's what Bowes has always done. He's been adaptable in terms of how he sets his teams up and the personnel he brings in. And we've been saying on here for a lot, even last year, we needed that bit of swagger, we needed that bit of confidence, and people should be, or teams should be coming here fearing to play us at Charlton and not the other way of teams coming here and we're actually like worried about them. So, and yesterday I thought we had that element of, yeah, we know you're doing all right and you've just come down from the Championship, but you're here now and we're gonna try and pass you off the park, which I thought we did at times. So. I don't think we gave him too much respect because, like, obviously, he said the Wigan game, it was just chalk and cheese. We just sort of went into our shells and was sort of overawed by the occasion.
Now, Chrissy T's got involved. Now, if you were listening to Thursday evening's show, you remember we had Steve Clark on from the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust. They had their meeting with the EFL regarding the situation at the club. And, of course, the EFL had also met with Ronan du Châtelet, the owner of the club, in the few days beforehand. So Chris just wanted to have his say on that. He said, following the EFL confirmation about waiting for proof of funds and the ownership structure of the Australians, which is one of the things they mentioned, he said, for me, they need to come out now and make a statement providing an update. They are losing what little credibility they had built up the longer this goes on. And he adds, my analogy for this is that I could go round Chislehurst and put an offer of £5 million on a house, have the offer accepted, then I just need to try and work out how the hell I was ever going to afford it in the first place. Now, you have to try and read between the lines on what's going on with this situation, but, I mean, Ronan's come out and said, and there was that joint statement, as we said, about a price being agreed. Now, if it turns out that whoever's agreed that price hasn't realised that that's actually quite a lot of money, and either they don't have the money or they aren't willing to spend that amount of money because it's too much money for this club. I mean, if you've agreed that price, that seems like a bit of a mistake if that's what's happened, and that's what we're being told is what's happened, but you're only ever going to get one side of the story. And I mean, Chrissy's coming out for the Australians to come out and make a statement of such. I mean, there's nothing in it for them to come out and say, oh yeah, we agreed a price that we don't actually want to pay. So there's no statement that they really need to make, that because, you know, they don't own the club at the moment, so they don't owe Charlton fans anything at the moment. But at the same time, Charlton fans are going to wish they hurry up and sort something out.
Yeah, they don't owe us anything. But as we've said plenty of times, turning up here, the scarves, sitting in the directors' box,
about that. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, they give that impression that everything was much further along than it is. And maybe it was, you know, maybe, as we've talked about, maybe investors did pull out and maybe that money was there and now it's not. I don't know exactly what the reason is, but clearly it's not working, whatever the problem is. So, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but I don't really know what they can come out and say. They've behaved a little bit silly, and it's not ideal if they are going to be the ones to take over the club. But it's one of them things that I think the ownership has been this problem for what, four and a half years. Whilst we're playing well, I'm trying really hard just to concentrate on stuff on the pitch at the moment, because that is good and there's nothing we can do about it. It's either going to happen or it's not. I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue to protest or to find answers, or the stuff at the EFL I think is good progress from the people that are doing it, but I guess I'm just a bit tired of it, really, and until something changes, I don't really know what more there is we can do.
Well, James Moynard said, it was a great game down at the Valley yesterday. A total team performance is what I've been waiting to see for ages. Really looking forward to Tuesday. Bowes up against Robbo will really show him how much better off we are now. There's so many people who sent messages like that. I am dreading that blowing up in our faces on Tuesday. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, from the evidence we've seen over the last however long, you'd expect us to certainly to give Oxford a good game. They've improved recently. They're unbeaten in three now, but it's going to be a very interesting game on Tuesday, isn't it? It'd be interesting. Well, I think I know what sort of reception Robbo's going to get.
Yeah, it's,
and I don't say, I'm not going to come out and say I agree with it, but
yeah, no,
he
I
will
mean,
get that reception.
I won't particularly boo him. You know, yeah, I know he wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I don't think he'd done anything, you know, really bad to. Against us, yeah, we didn't agree with his tactics sometimes, but he always tried to win games, and he left for at that time because of his own personal reasons, and I can't really blame him. If I was in that position and you was under the impression that you weren't going to be in a job, you might as well find somewhere that you wanted to, where you want to have a job. It's all speculation, but the only thing I'm worried about is not about Robbo, it's about Ricky Holmes. That's the only because I can just see it now, a 1-0 free kick, Ricky Holmes in the last minute or something, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if it would blow up in our faces. But like Bo said, we stay professional and play to our strengths and play like we did yesterday. We should win fairly comfortably, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. Now, Dan tweeted in saying, great game yesterday. All the players were superb. And now I like this. He said, hope you liked Mark Anderson's flag yesterday. It'll go up for auction now that Lyle has signed it. Now, if you would have seen it behind the goal in the covered end, sort of on the right side, and these guys, it's a Charlton flag, Charlton badge, big photo of Lyle Taylor with his pink hair and then the pink cancer ribbon as well, the breast cancer ribbon, and it said the right side salutes you, and there's some great photos of Lyle going up to meet the chaps from the right side of the covered end after, and like I say, sign the flag now, so that they'll be up for auction. I thought that was a really nice touch actually from the chaps behind the goal, getting involved with Lyle's you know, campaign to raise awareness this month.
Yeah, I think I think Mark and co, they sit right down the front row where I am, but I saw they brought a flag out. I didn't see it was, but obviously, after the game, Lyle obviously spotted it and found it quite, you know, quite not funny, but he liked it, obviously, and he had a photo. But yeah, it's great awareness. And forgive me, but I can't remember the young chap's name, but there was a little boy on Twitter today who played football and he dyed his hair pink.
Yeah, I saw
today.
That. Yeah,
I can't remember,
yeah.
Sorry, for who it was. But yeah, so it's nice. It's bringing the awareness up, and it's exactly what Lyle wanted, is to get the awareness out there and to get as much money as we can for... obviously a horrible disease.
Yeah, well done, Lyle Taylor, and well done the right side of the covered end for your flag there. Cliff Scales said, excellent performance yesterday against a team I think are the best we have played this season. Man for man, we stood up to them and got the result we deserved. Thought that Billick and Pierce at the back were class. And I don't think you're going to get any arguments with that in this studio. Albert Rossi said, can't remember the last time we had two guys up front scoring goals. I think it was Andy Hunt and Clive Mendonca. See, now we talked about this a few weeks ago, didn't we? We were saying like your favourite Charlton strike partnerships over the years, because I thought, let's get that subject in nice and early before it dries up, because that's Charlton for you. But it still hasn't, has it?
No, not at all. I think when we spoke about it, we sort of half expected that to be some sort of curse. But I still can't really think of maybe, I think we said Bradley Wright Phillips and Jan or Paul Hayes was probably the last time we really had two regular strikers. And we know obviously what we went on to do that year, so it's obviously positive. And like Nave said at the start of the show, he's not worried about us up that end of the pitch, and neither am I. And I don't necessarily just want to be a team that scores more than we concede. We need to be tighter in defence, and we've shown that in recent games. But I thought yesterday we did do that. Obviously, Bauer coming back as and when he does will be a huge boost for that as well. But whilst we are scoring goals, it does mean that even if our defence is a bit shaky, we can still win a game, whereas I think last year we wouldn't have felt like that.
And Michael said, the biggest compliment I can give is that we made Barnsley look very
ordinary. And now, like I say, in terms of possession, I thought they were moving the ball around quite nice at times. But when it got to the edge of our penalty area, I mean, the amount of times, I'd say, Dick Steele stood in for a pass that was coming forward just to cut it out, and then made challenges as well. But they just could not create clear-cut chances yesterday. And that was, you know, the thing that stood out for me. Because, like I said, they're the joint second top scorers in this division. So for them not to get one, only the third time this season they haven't scored a goal, just shows how well we played at the back.
Yeah, and I think first half, obviously they play quite narrow, obviously, because they're attacking three. Well, their midfield is obviously, was it Potts, Moncur, and McGeehan. They play quite narrow, so we were letting them having it down in a wider area. So they weren't really causing us too much grief. But like I said, I think Anthony done a job on Moncur, which he was probably the player I was worried about, and he didn't have a sniff. So I think as a team, I think we stuck one of our individual battles, which I've said, but yeah, we just seemed a lot more organised and seemed a lot more composed in terms of, you know, we're always going to have some, they're always going to threaten our goal, like you say, because they're a good team and they've scored loads of goals. But I thought I wasn't too uncomfortable throughout the whole game.
Tom said, yesterday was our best performance by far this season. We were brilliant in and out of possession. For me, either Bilic or Dick Steele were man of the match. Both won all of their 50-50s and looked very comfortable defensively. I mean, yeah, like I mentioned that, how pleased I was with Dick Steele in particular yesterday, just because there was people calling for him to go out the side because they wanted Solly back at right back and Saren at left back. London and Geezer as well saying, make sure that you look out for the auction of the flag by Mr. Anderson there, Mark Anderson, the Lyle Taylor flag. Now, Oliver Wilson said that Bilic was exactly what we have been missing. And I mean, like, just how much improved we were at the back. It was notable, and it was notable right from the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I think Bilic served two purposes. One, he's a good defender himself, but two, he allows Pierce to be his best in his best position as well. So you see Pierce back where he's comfortable, and I thought he had a brilliant performance. And then Bilic himself, you know, he kept their strikers quiet, but also just his touch on the ball as well. So I think that's the nice balance we have with Bauer and Pierce. Is Pierce, with the greatest respect to him, he's not someone that's going to necessarily play out from the back. So he tends to give it left or right to let someone else do that. And I thought he did it as well. And then praise for Cullen as well, because he sat just in front of that back four, kind of the base of that diamond, and he did a really good job defensively as well. So we defended as a unit, really, and like we said, people like Lapsley coming on, even you see them making tackles too. So I think everyone deserves praise, even from the defensive side of things, because it was a real team performance yesterday.
Yeah, Cliff Scales agrees with Oliver that he felt that Bilic, he said he's a class act. Mark Anderson says we are going up, well, hopefully. Now, good, interesting one from Bob. Said after 13 games, if you were asked who your player of the season was so far, who would you pick? Probably one of the most difficult ones we've had. He said, for me, it has to be Joe Aribo. I mean, if you were put on the spot at this time of the season?
Yeah, you can't disagree with Bob there, but I'd have to say for Carlin, just for how much he's improved.
So you've immediately disagreed with Bob there, haven't you?
Yeah, no.
That's what you've done.
No, but I know where he's coming from, but you'd have to go for Carlin for me. But he's got a good shout for Joe, because like I said earlier, Joe's improving week by week for me.
No, Tom?
Lyle for me.
Yeah, Lyle Taylor for me as well so far. I mean, Ben Hunt is saying that Josh Cullen has edged it so far for him, but obviously it's very very early.
I think by end of the season, Cullen will be up there for sure.
Yeah, hopefully. You're right. Bob Willis says, I love the fact that Bowyer had confidence in the work he had done with George Lapsley over the last 2 weeks and brought him on for Reeves. Yesterday, he knew exactly what he had to do defensively, and Bowyer trusted him to do the job, and he certainly trusted him quite a lot so far this season, and with a good reason to. I mean, I remember, like I say, at the start of the season when I saw he had to start at Sunderland, I was a bit nervous, because his only league appearance last season, I think his first ever league appearance for us, was that game against Blackpool, and he looked out of his depth when he came off the bench. So I'm glad that he's shown such an improvement. 100% Charlton said that his prediction for Tuesday evening is that under the lights we go three up, full-time whistle blows, Lee Bowyer's Red Army rings out around the valley, and Robertson gets sacked on the same night. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We can dream, can't we? Well, I'd certainly enjoy that if that was to come to pass. Derek said that he thought that Bilic was the difference for us as well. Dan says, my man of the match yesterday was Bilic. He made the difference coming back into the team and won every ball. Mark Brooks said, who was that band on the link before the mascots? Gary Newman. I genuinely don't know, actually, because Glovepup sent me a load of new jingles. So whoever it was, you have to ask Glovepup. I'll try and get him to find out for you, Mark. He's put a lot of time and effort into making some new jingles for us. And I actually listened to him for the first time today. And he mentioned the name of the wrong radio station in them. So he's going to have to go and change those. He said we're on a different radio station to the one we are. So well done, Glovepup. thanks for your hard work. Right, McSkibby says someone is going to get a hiding soon, according to Lee Bowyer. Would that be on Tuesday? Would it be Carl Gobbingson? He said, I mean, Stephen has got a hiding, of course, but I mean if everything clicks into place, and a team that's low on confidence, if they come out and try to attack us, which hopefully they will, then we will thrash someone soon, definitely.
It'd be great, wouldn't it, if it was Tuesday. It's definitely coming. We kind of put three or four parts together every single game, but we never put, I don't know, like all of them together. So you get some of them one game where, like yesterday, we defend well, we score a couple. We boss the midfield. That's probably the closest we've been. But you think Coventry, we didn't score enough and then we threw it away at the end. Scunthorpe, we score three, but we can concede five. We're just, as I've said plenty of times so far this season, we're not enough put together every little bit that we need to do. But I completely agree with Bowie at some point. I mean, I know Stevenage did, but I think at some point in the league we're going to win probably 4 or 5 nil. It's just about when that happens.
What? Let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Don't forget, still to come this evening, we've still got your emails and your Charlton Live forum posts. If we get a chance, we'll look ahead more in depth to the Oxford game. Maybe chat about the FA Cup draw, of course. First round draws tomorrow. We're all praying for Bromley versus Charlton, as we all know. And also, we're going to hear from Elisabetta Ijupi from the women's team after their 2-0 win over Sheffield United earlier on this afternoon.
Him, just finds him, and Rebo immediately closed down by Brighton. That's a good recovery tackle from Page. He's won it back, finds Cullen, releases Grant. What a ball that is, into the penalty box with Taylor on the opposite side. Still Grant, though, gets cuts on his right. Shot! Grant, goal! Come on! What a finish by Carlin Grant. The ball to him was absolutely exquisite by Cullen. It split the Bradford defence in half. Carlin Grant on towards the edge of the six-yard box. Taylor on the opposite side of it, but cut back on his right foot and slammed it into the goal.
So welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio, Glovepup. I hope you're enjoying this evening's show, looking back at yesterday's 2-0 win over Barnsley. Louis Mendes, Tom Wallin and Nathan Muller here in the studio at the Valley, a happy valley after yesterday's win. On the forum, Southwest Addicts gets involved, says absolutely ecstatic after that performance and victory. We showed we have the quality to mix it up with the better teams in this division. The work rate was exceptional, especially the front two, who kept pressurising their fullbacks to stop them playing the easy ball and exploiting our narrow midfield. Top two should be the minimum we aim for. I am worried that August's slow start, which was the fault of Roland, might come back to haunt us when we get into May, especially because we drop points against Sunderland, Posh and Accrington. I, for one, cannot wait for Tuesday night and the return of Carl Robinson to the Valley. Come on, you Reds. It's another person looking forward to Carl Robinson coming back to the Valley, when he will inevitably be beating us and we will all be embarrassed by everything we've all said in the build up to the game. But top two minimum, is that fair? I mean, I'm thinking top six.
Yeah, I think top two might be a bit of a stretch for me. I mean how many points we Paul Smith, what, 33? We're on what, 21 or 24,
I
something like that. So we've got, it will take something quite catastrophic for us to sort of leap.
We're on 21. We're 6 points behind Peterborough in second.
Six off Peterborough and 12 off Portsmouth, but anything can happen. But it'll be a stretch. It will take some insane form to do it. But like Tom said earlier, I don't think many teams have come here and have played us off the park. I don't think anyone has had, really. So yeah, it's not out of the question, but I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I think even before the season started, I think I definitely said playoffs would be fine, but top two should be aiming for it, but I'd be happy with playoffs.
Right, Mendonca and Asda's on the forum. I like that. Like that username. It's not quite Joe Rebo and Nando's.
Or what's the other one? Kishishev
in Sainsbury's. Yeah. Or indeed Jason Yule in the shower. But it says, evening guys. Really enjoyed the performance and result yesterday. It was like eating a nice meal in a nice restaurant. Thoroughly enjoyable. We do love a nice restaurant analogy around here, don't we? I thought Jed Steer had a pretty solid game. No complaints here. Hope that's a turning point for him. Anthony was outstanding, man of the match for me. Glad to see Carlin and Lyle pushing each other in the goals charts. If we could play like that every week, we'd definitely be in the top two. Roll on Robbo and Ricky on Tuesday night. Another one. Begging for it, aren't we? Jed, so we mentioned Steer there. A good performance from him and Anthony Dick Steele as well. Right, we've got some DMs. Phil said, a great win for the boys today. Grant and Taylor really do look like the real deal. Billick made a huge difference at the back, as did Dick Steele. We really have no excuses for not finishing top six this season. Anything else will be a massive failure. At last, something to cheer under our disastrous owner. And I mean, the point that I think was one of the guys on the forum there mentioned, it was Southwest Addict, mentioned talking about the slow start was the fault of Roden. So even if we do achieve anything this season, it will be in spite of what Roden, of what happened at the slow start, where Lee had to be very, very careful with his budget.
Yeah, exactly. And he deserves a huge amount of praise because, well, the song says it itself, doesn't it? He's had no money. He's identified targets. He was patient. Did you see how patient he was, Louis? with his signings. He wanted certain players and he wasn't prepared to get anything less. And, I mean, look, I'm sure all managers put in a lot of work Monday to Friday, but you do hear him talk about what he's done as well. And you hear why he sets up a certain way and you hear what he's watched, and you know he talks several times about what Jacko does in terms of set pieces, and it's all just, it's a nice balance they've got in terms of the coaching staff, in terms of the players they've got. It feels, we've said it a couple of times, it feels a bit more like Charlton again, and as you say, that's in spite of everything that's going on above him. So I think I agree with a lot of the people. I think second is definitely achievable. I think we could get automatics, but I think top six is a minimum expectation, and I certainly think we're good enough to do it.
Charlton Sowell says, good to see Bowyer listens to Charlton Live. He wouldn't be the first manager to do so if he did, because Carol Fryer used to. And it said, and adhered to my Solly over Sar point. Yeah, Charlton Sowell made that point on Thursday evening show. No point wasting two quality fullbacks. Furthermore, everything I have read suggests Jamie Ward was completely miserable at Forest and never wants to go back. Why is the club saying it's inevitable he does so? Permanently signing him, Cullen should, him and Cullen should be the priority for new ownership in January. Now, there was some quotes from Bowyer during the week on Rich's website. I think he's sort of saying, the way I read it, Bowyer's sort of saying it, as it looks like at the moment he'd go back in January. Now, you'll read some quotes from Wardy in the paper tomorrow, which I think will throw some doubt onto that view, which was interesting because, I mean, you can tell he's happy here. I mean, he does talk about missing his family, who's still up in Nottingham or wherever they live, because one of them's he's got a young lad at school. But I mean, it would be in our interest to try and keep him on, and you'd argue that he surely would be within the current budget just to extend him to the end of the year for the same wage. So that shouldn't be a problem if everyone's happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, if Forrest are happy for him to stay, and he is, and like you say, the budget's there for him to be kept, then I think it's worth it. But I think the only thing I would say is then if Billy Clark does come back and gets fit and plays well, how are you going to maybe fit those two into a squad? And would Bowyer want wages from Jamie Ward to be spent elsewhere? I don't know, but I think Jamie's been absolutely brilliant for us. Every game I've seen him play, he's made a difference in some shape or form.
Obviously, if Billy Clark is that option in January, it'd be interesting.
Yeah,
we'll see. Dan said, have some confidence, boys. We're going to smash Oxford and that fat pack so-and-so, packing his bags for the tin tack. And he said, sorry for the language. you can all guess what Dan was calling Carl Robertson there, a fat something. It's up to you guys if you want to fill in that blank. Right, on the emails, Paul Griffiths said the Barnsley game. Said, "Dear Charlton Live team, I'm writing this email on the train back into deepish Hampshire after a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon at the Valley and three thoroughly deserved points against an in-form Barnsley team. For the first 5 minutes, Barnsley really looked good and on the front foot, but the brilliant pass in the 8th minute and Carlin's well-taken goal changed all that. And from then on, I thought we totally controlled the game." He said the referee had a very odd game with strange decisions going both ways. From where I was sat in the family corner and the comments on Twitter, it looked like we should have had a penalty or free kick when Carlin was brought down when he got in behind the Barnsley defence. And then the other end, he bizarrely failed to play on when Barnsley were on the attack and about to shoot to pull it back for a free kick, much to their understandable annoyance. Does anyone in the ground know why he booked Solly? Anyone?
It was down the right flank, or the left-hand flank, sorry. And I'm pretty sure he stopped a throw going in or something. Because we noticed that he got booked and we didn't know it was for, but I think it was for like petulance or something.
Petulance?
Is that another word?
That's what it says in the referee's report, petulance.
Pete ain't listening.
Yeah. then Paul carries on saying, then there was Pierce's goal, which I saw no reason to disallow whatsoever, but not seen it again yet. I thought Dick still had his best game for us. That I've ever seen. Won't make the headlines, but just before our second goal, he made two outstanding tackles which stopped Barnsley attacks. Jed Steer has been getting a bit of understandable stick in recent weeks, but I thought he had his best game for us. And of course, to keep the clean sheet is the best result for a goalkeeper. Lyle Taylor put in one amazing shift and was everywhere, and when he missed the sitter at the end, I think it was because he was knackered. He said just Naby Sarr made me very nervous at the end when he came on. Let's hope for more of the same on Tuesday. And then he goes, thanks sir, for lads for all the excellent work on the show, which the podcast get me through many a 5k run. Cheers, Paul. Yeah, every Saturday morning he does his park run down near where he lives in sort of like Portsmouth area, and he listens to Charlton Live, which I guess encourages him to get around quicker so he doesn't have to listen to the whole thing.
Turn it off, yeah.
Yeah, right. Chris Davins says, just got home. It's 11 p.m. Been bar taking since 1 p.m. and 5 till 10. So just proud of my Charlton boys. We were quality throughout the 90 minutes. Can't fault anyone. We played the supposedly top side in the division, and they were ordinary. Didn't trouble us at all. In fact, easiest game we've had all season. We as Charlton fans are guilty of bigging up teams in this league. Can't think why we're Charlton. We need to not forget that the bells that ring in time. Your time is challenging a kind of mind. It's a kind of magic. That was Chris Davin there.
Is that in the musical one? Okay.
I mean, we've seen that a few times this season where, you know, I don't think we're bigging up Barnsley. They're third in the league. They're fifth now after getting beaten by the excellent Charlton yesterday. But I don't think we're bigging them up. I think the fact is, when a team comes here, a good team, and we play better than them and make them look ordinary, it doesn't mean they're a bad team all of a sudden.
No, not at all. I think they are a good side. And I think we suffer a little bit because we... ever since we've been back in League One, we're still a big team for this level. So I think there is a little bit of a mentality that any defeat's disappointing at any level, but your expectation is that little bit higher, despite everything that's going on, despite the fact that we know our side is our side, or has been over recent years. You still expect victories. So even when a big team comes here and you win, it's very easy to just kind of go, good, well, that's what I expect. But yeah, I think we all made it clear last week that we didn't necessarily expect it. We were nervous, but we put them away. And I'm sure Barnsley are going to go on and win a couple of games over the next few weeks and show the side that they are, because they are a good side. I just think yesterday we were better than them.
Connor gets involved. He says, hi guys, I thought we were brilliant yesterday. Grant's pace caused havoc all afternoon. Two brilliant goals as well. I thought Billick made a massive difference, and what a player he is. Lots of people have criticised Steer, but he was excellent, as were the team. The ref was awful as well again. He missed a clear red card and a perfectly good goal ruled out. On to Tuesday, we must win. I'll just add that to the list of people who have...
Is it just us three so far who are nervous?
Yeah, I think so. David Todman says his passion has been rekindled. This was a great performance against Barnsley. There is nothing to worry about at all in this division. Keeping the side balanced and playing in the right positions and automatic is possible. This is the most free scoring side since the Mendonca Hunt promotion team. Says someone is due a real tanking. What a great time to smash in a few against the Scouse, complete imposter syndrome guy. So David's up there as well for sticking one on Carl Robinson on Tuesday evening. I mean, I'd love it if we win, and I really hope we do win.
Yeah.
I think we've got a very good chance of winning, but I'm not gonna tempt fate like everyone has so far this evening.
So we're gonna smash them 5-0.
In their excitement.
Imagine if we do.
Yeah. Right. Another team who's been out getting wins this weekend. It wasn't just the men's team. Charlton Athletic women beat Sheffield United this afternoon. Good to bounce back. They had their first defeat of the season last week away at Man United. Everyone's going to lose every game with Man United this season. That's not a disgrace. And by all accounts, they played pretty well when they got beat 3-0. But they played Sheffield United today. Amber Sobs got the first goal just before half-time. Charlie Clifford scored a worldie in the second half. Sheffield United were down to 10 at 1-0, but Charlton still had to see the game out. Now, Elizabeth Ijupi was the player of the match, and she said it was a good afternoon for the women down at the Oakwood in Crayford.
Yeah, definitely. We created loads of chances. I think 2-0, if anything, we could have had more than that, but a win's a win. We put a shift in.
Yeah.
And, we finished two of them. That's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't kept a clean sheet as well, so...
Yeah. It sounds like the second goal from Charlie Clifford was meant to be a bit of a weldie. Can you talk us through that one?
Oh, yeah. It just got set to her, and she... I don't even think she looked at the goal. She just knew where it was, clipped it, top left... And that was it, she fell on the floor. She didn't even know she scored, we just all jumped on her. So, yeah, it was a good little celebration, but she deserved it. She's put lots of work in this week.
Yeah, brilliant. And you, so if you got given player of the match by Igor Vetekele, he was sponsoring the game today. So a pleasing performance from yourself?
Yeah. No, I think I did what I could. I got involved where I could, tried to create chances. Should have maybe put some away myself, but it just wasn't on. So I've got to get... practice the finishing, I think, but no, I don't mind. As long as we win, other people finishing it, it doesn't really bother me, just as long as we win the game.
Yeah, and obviously it's important to bounce back from last week. I mean, no one, when you go to Man United, you know it's always going to be a tough game, and it was a defeat in the end, but in your first one of the season, so it's important that you reacted to that today.
Definitely. I think we always knew we can bounce back from Man United. Even then, we put a shift in, we put a good performance, we should have put a chance away, it could have been a different game, but we knew we had to come in and just prove ourselves again. We've been winning, we know we've got it in us, so yeah, it's good for us. So now we go on to Millwall next week and hopefully continue.
Yeah, I mean, in the context of the season, it's been a brilliant start to the campaign. I know this is your first season with Charlton, but following promotion last year, a lot of people wouldn't really have known what to expect. So to have started off so well with just the one defeat, you couldn't have gone any better, really.
Definitely, yeah. I think teams don't know what to expect of us. They get here, but yeah, we just show them what we're about on the pitch, and we've got a lot of... We're a very good team going forward. We've shown that we create so many chances. So I think people, with the results, people know that we're in it to win games. We're not just in it to make numbers in the season. But
From a personal point of view, you signed from Aston Villa in the summer. What was your reasoning for wanting to join the club?
I grew up playing for Charlton, like through their centre of excellence. So. And I wanted to move back home to London. I'm from London originally. I live in Charlton. So, obviously, I followed their success last year. And when I saw that it got promoted as well, I wanted to get involved. I knew, like, the manager who previously talked to Rikish and James as well. So, it just made sense, really. I knew it was a good club. Everything, the setup, the structure is something I wanted to be involved in. So... and I knew they were a good team as well, and players that I've played with before, I knew they're good enough to compete in this league, which we're proving now. So
yeah, I mean, what do you think that the club can achieve this season? So we came down to the first game against Aston Villa and saw a fairly comfortable victory, and it has been such a good start. I mean, how far do you think this side can go?
I think we're obviously pushing to go all the way. Like, we want to be up there. We know there's a few teams like Man United and a few teams that, whether they're training full-time or they're strong, we know there's competition there, but I think we're good enough to compete for those top positions. So, I think we can go all the way. We've got potential to go all the way. We're all very positive as a club. Why not?
Yeah. And finally, I mentioned it earlier there, Igor Vetekele was the sponsor today. We saw in the week that quite a few of the first-team players from the men's team are going to be sponsoring games this season. It was a healthy crowd who came down today, over 200. I mean, how important is it that the whole Charlton family comes together to support the women's team?
yeah, it's really important. Like, having the crowd today behind us, it just brings a different element to the game, I think, the atmosphere. And obviously, we want to perform. Like, football is an entertaining game. We need people to entertain, or else. So, yeah, as long as they carry on. And today, yeah, it was a good day as well. A nice day. People come out. So, I think if the fans, everyone could just carry on supporting us, we'll do what we can during the week. We work hard and just give them something good to watch every week.
Yeah, and as you say, you said Millwall coming up next. It'd be nice if Charlton could actually get one over on them, because the men's team don't have a very good record against Millwall.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, we've played, we've already come across them in the Conti Cup, so we know what they're like. But yeah, we're just going to work hard at training and then have a good game, hopefully.
Yeah. Thanks to Liz there for joining us on the phone. She was the player of the match earlier on today, as the women beat Sheffield United by 2-0 down at the Oakwood in Crayford, their new home ground. Up to, they're still third in the division, actually, for a team that's just come up, you know. And like I said, you don't know how it's going to be, but other than they've only lost once, and like I said, that was against Man United, who have won. You know, they've only dropped points in one game so far this season. They're expected to absolutely walk this division. And yeah, I mean, like I said, we saw him earlier on this season. I'm definitely going to get down there a couple more times this season, because it's an enjoyable day. Over 200 people there today as well. And like I say, Igor was the sponsor. Lyle Taylor sponsored the previous game. The lads are all sponsoring games. You can sponsor a game. You get the treatment as well. You get, like, just go in the box and whatnot. But if you just want to go down, it's a great day.
Yeah, yeah. We obviously sponsored a game. Was it first game of the season?
First home league game.
And really enjoyed it. I haven't managed to be back since, unfortunately, but aiming to get back certainly a few times before the end of the season. And like you say, we did our audio diary, didn't we? And we said we're not really sure what to expect, because they're up a level and you don't know how they're going to be able to cope with that. But they did so well in the league below for a reason. And yeah, they've taken to it well. And I saw the highlights of the game against Man United on Valley Pass the other day, and they had chances in that too. And couple of sloppy defensive mistakes, didn't hit the bar as well, or had chances, so that even that one could have been a different story. So yeah, they're looking good at the moment.
So well done to Ritesh and the girls for their brilliant start to the season, and long may it continue. Right, just before we look ahead to the Oxford game, as a lot of you are eager to do, tomorrow is the first round of the FA Cup. The draw Monday evening will be the draw. Like I said, I've already put my preference out, because Bromley have got through after beating Gloucester City away 1-0 yesterday. I mean, there's lots of non-league teams in there. Obviously, the leagues, League 1 and 2 sides are in there as well, so we can get anyone. There's no North or South split or anything like that, so we can get anyone. I mean, you can go into specifics if you want, but what sort of draw do you want? I really enjoyed the Truro game here last year, actually. But
yeah, I'd like Bromley home and away, because Bromley is obviously our local team, but it'd be nice to go to Hayes Lane. But as long as we avoid Sunderland away, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
You don't
have to be going too far in a cup. I mean, if we got Gateshead or something, that'd be just as bad. Tom, do you preference? I mean, I would like a non-league team away, just because I think that's a good occasion.
As a specific, I'd take Cambridge away just to go back home. But no, I think we want someone fairly low. I'd just like to try and see us get through to that third round and get a nice draw, because I haven't really seen it too much. And obviously having someone lower league gives us that best chance, although I expect Lee will rest first teamers irrespective of who we get, because our league is our priority. But yeah, someone non-league would be fine.
Well, at the rate they're going, Oxford United will be non-league soon. That's who we're playing on Tuesday. Obviously, everyone's expecting us to absolutely smash them, because they got Carl Robinson as manager. But like I say, that is definitely going to blow up in our faces. But Dan has tweeted in saying, what formation do you reckon Oxford will play on Tuesday? Anyone?
3-5-2.
Yeah, do you 4-4-2?
3-4-3, I reckon.
Yeah. He may well go for the 4-2-3-1 on Tuesday, Carl Robinson.
What a maverick.
I'm looking forward to the game, because I enjoy watching this Charlton side, because they're a good team to watch. But last time I said that was the day before we went up to Scunny on the Tuesday, and we got beat 5-3. It was still a good game, to be fair, but we lost. We are the home side. We're against a team that's not done too well, though. They have picked up a couple of results in the last couple of games. They have, you know, drawn 2 and 1-1 out of their last 3, so they've just picked it up a bit. I mean, this has got banana skin written all over it for me.
Yeah, I don't really know how he's going to play it. I don't know. Is he going to come out, like, this is Robbo, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know if Robbo's going to come out and attack us and just try and go oh, I don't care, I'm going to go for it? Or is he going to sit behind the ball, well, make it frustrating?
When we went up to Wigan in between Christmas and New Year last season, and obviously Wigan were walking away with the league, and we put in a, under Colwell, and we put in a really disciplined, defensive, excellent display, looking to hit him on the counter. Now, if he sets him up like that, that'll be their best chance of getting something. I mean, Barnsley yesterday came out to play to an extent, and we could hit them on the turnover as possession, as we say. Now, is whether Carl will want to play like that. I think he might be tempted to. He'll still have the same formation, but he'll have perhaps the more forward midfielders dropping a little bit more and trying to keep it tight. And because we can exploit space, and he'll know that.
It makes sense for him and for us, because obviously he can use people like Ricky on the counter as well. I think it's all down to his ego, really. Does he want to try and come here and just blast us off the pitch? And I think if he does, they might be in trouble. Or is he prepared to suck it up, sit back, just defend and try and pick us off? Because that is their best chance. It's just whether he's got the bottle to do that, and I'm not sure whether he does. Obviously, hope he doesn't. But look, irrespective of him being in charge, we're the better side, and we should win that game. But there is that factor, obviously, hanging over.
From a Charlton point of view, I mean, obviously, if Bilic doesn't make it through, we know Igor's not going to be fit. He's not going to be available for a place on the bench. If Bilic doesn't make it through, I mean, that does give us that makes us revert to that defence that is a bit lopsided. I mean, even with Solly playing out of position at left back, we looked really good defensively yesterday. If we're missing, if Piercy has to go onto the wrong side and he's all turning around the wrong way, and Nabs comes in, then we're not as defensively strong as we are with Bilic in the team, and that goes without saying, really.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I'd stick Prattley in there, but then I think the way that we might need to play on Tuesday, we might need Prattley in the middle. So it does look like we'll probably have to go for a lopsided back four. But in theory, we're not playing a team that are renowned for their goal scoring prowess. So
not yet, anyway. Right. We've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks to all of you who got involved on the emails, on the tweets and on the forum as well. Plenty of stuff coming in. So cheers for that. Thanks to Bayer, of course, for coming in yesterday to the studio, and to Liz from the women's team for joining us on the phone. Thanks to Tom and Nathan for coming in.
Cheers, Lewis.
I've been Louis Mendez. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. I hope you've enjoyed this evening's Charlton Live. We'll be back here on Thursday to look back at the heavy defeat at home to Oxford and, of course, ahead to next Saturday's trip to Rochdale. We'll see you then, but let's hope we do get one over on our former boss on Tuesday evening. See you later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.